Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you're here, too, because we got our good friend Steve Forbes back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Forbes is president and CEO of Forbes. He's editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine. He is, you know who he is very well. He really needs no introduction. He's the guy who's told us about the flat tax and wrote a book about it, and I still think it's a great idea. He ran for president, as you know, at one point in time, and he travels the world sharing his wisdom with a lot of people, and from time to time he graces us with his time, and for which we are very much grateful. Steve Forbes, welcome back to the show.
Jim, good to be with you. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and to your family.
You know, Steve,
the grandchildren.
Exactly, especially the grandkids. Yeah, you got two now?
Two, yes.
Two, yeah.
5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Right. Steve, when I look at the economy, when I look out across what's happening out there, I'm seeing a lot of things that are unprecedented, and one of the things that's unprecedented in mine in your lifetime is the government intervention in the marketplace. And frankly, Steve, I know that I'm trying to believe Paulson and Bernanke, and I've heard you on television saying that the government needed to get involved and to do some of these things, but I promise. Steve, as a free trade, you know, supply side economist kind of a thinker, economy kind of a thinker, it bothers me when I see all this government intervention, and when I after several months now, I'm not seeing that the government intervention is helping an awful lot. Am I wrong about that? Is it coming?
There are still key overhangs on the economy and the financial system. Even though the financial system is better than it was in September and October, when it truly went into cardiac arrest, there's still overhangs that are making banks very reluctant to lend, that have insurance companies clutch their cash like food during a famine. And one of the biggest overhangs, and it all ties together, is this crazy accounting rule, at least as they've applied it to the regulators, called mark-to-market.
Yeah.
And mark-to-market means banks and insurers have to repeatedly mark down the value of assets, even though there's no market for them, and even if they intend to hold them for a while. And so as a result, any time a bank makes a loan, it has to fear that the regulators are going to force it to mark it down. I'll give you one example. There was a big loan syndication. You remember last year a company called InBev took over Anheuser-Busch.
Yes.
That involved a huge loan facility. Even though InBev is a solvent company, making the payments and all of that, in this skittish financial market, that loan is selling for, in the market, around 90, 92 cents on the dollar. So the regulators, instead of saying this is a loan that's being serviced, principal and interest payments are being made, they are forcing the banks to take a write-down on it.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous. So what it underscores is that if you are out in the market, you're just asking your head to be blown off. So they got to suspend mark-to-market. It's the equivalent.
How come it hasn't already been done, Stephen? Because you proposed this months ago. You told us in October, you told this audience in October, that if they had suspended mark-to-market in January of 2008, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now.
Well, that's right, and I have no good explanation for it. I know parts of the accounting profession love the thing for theological reasons, you know, like how many angels dance on the head of a pin kind of approach. But it's ridiculous, and it wouldn't take much to change it.
Is this something the Obama administration might look at?
I hope so. They've got a new team in, and one of the things, including the new Treasury Secretary, who has seen firsthand, been involved with the disasters of the past year, I hope he's learned something from it, and that as a result, he will, they will make those changes. And that would go a long ways to getting the life insurance industry back on its feet, getting banks willing to lend again and not fear that they're going to have their legs cut off. And another thing they can do, Jim, is in the housing market. Now that they own Fannie and Freddie, you know, they pretend they still don't. They call it a conservatory, whatever that is, conservatorship. But let's face it, Fannie and Freddie have lost their virginity. They're part of the federal government for the moment. I hope soon we will privatize them. But for the moment, they're in the hands of the feds. So why not use them for a useful purpose? Have Fannie and Freddie go to the bank since they can borrow at cheap rates with a government guarantee and say, we'll buy mortgages that you write at fixed rates of 4.5% to 5%. If homeowners know they could refinance their mortgages, boy, you'd see this economy come back.
I agree with you, Steve. Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Steve Forbes, right back after these messages. Aflac for... Don't let your troubles make... We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't want to miss a second of our interview with our good friend Steve Forbes, CEO and President of Forbes, Editor-in-Chief of Forbes Magazine. Steve, thank you again for being here. We were talking about some of the government involvement, and one of the things that I want to talk about that I wanted to ask you about is I'm still worried about getting, you know, we've always worried about the government getting its camel's nose under the tent. But I think that ship has sailed. I think the camel is already inside the tent now. And my question is, how do we get this thing out of the tent? How do we move this pig through the python? Pardon the mixed metaphors. How do we get the government back out? I mean, I'm afraid it's going to like. I mean, Barney Frank is already talking about putting observers in boardrooms of companies to get the TARP money. I mean, how are we going to fix this, Steve? I'm more afraid of that than anything else. I'm not afraid of whether the economy can turn around. I'm afraid of whether we can get the government out of our marketplace.
Yeah, you got to be very careful about the guest who decides they like your house and stays.
Right.
And what we had last fall was initially the equivalent of a natural disaster. You know, you get in the blankets, you get in the food, the medicine, the clean water, temporary shelter. But as you asked, the question is, okay, how do you, once you deal with the emergency, how do you get the people, let people get back on their feet again and not make these handouts permanent? And I think that's going to be just through political pressure, because if you leave the government to its own devices, it's going to like the fact that it can tell GM what kind of cars it can make. It's going to like the fact that it can tell Citibank who it can lend to, what it can pay, who sits on their boards, what projects they should finance that politicians love, and all that sort of thing. So the key thing is going to have to be political pressure, people saying, okay, you had an emergency, you deal with it, but then you move out. And one of the key things is, even if the government gets comfortable owning things like Citibank, is that you're going to have a free market where sound institutions have a chance to compete against the government. We know free markets, when they have a fair competition, free markets always win.
Yep.
There's no way that if take an example, that if the government runs GM, there's no way that government-run GM, just as government-run Fannie and Freddie, is going to do anything but make a hash of things.
And they're not going to compete with Toyota, are they?
No way. So and that's one of the dangers we have to be on the watch out for now. Once the government, we'll have to see what they finally do long-term in terms of GM, Chrysler, and perhaps Ford, that they don't use that as a lever to force Toyota, force BMW, and others to unionize their plants, to browbeat them into, in effect, becoming a government-overseen cartel.
Well, one of the things that we're going to have to do is people like you and me and all small business owners across America are going to have to really let our members of Congress know that thank you for the help. We appreciate it. Here's your money back, but now go back to Washington and get out of the marketplace. We're going to have to tell them, we're going to have to be specific about that, aren't we?
We are indeed. And that's one of the things that I think have to be constantly debated is where does the government go from here? You have an emergency, okay. First, you got to deal with the emergency, and as we just discussed with things like mark-to-market, they still haven't got it quite right yet. But once you deal with the immediate emergency, how do we get these guys to pull back? Because they do get very comfortable running things.
Steve, one of the things that created the Great Depression...
One of the things we should agitate for, a couple of things. One is on the tax code, reducing tax rates and simplifying the tax code. The other thing we have to be very vigilant about is we're all focused on what the government has done with banks and the like, and GM and Chrysler. But the government's on the verge of making a huge leap forward on nationalizing the health care system.
Yep. That's a big concern, and that is not something they're going to put on the back burner. Steve, I predicted this year in my 09 predictions that they would put the cap and trade on hold for a year, they'd put the union bill on hold for a year, but they would not put the nationalizing with health care on hold for a year. I think they'll focus on that this year, don't you?
They will, under the guise of helping the uninsured, and especially at a time like this when people do lose jobs, they become, obviously the first thought that comes in is what happens, especially if you have a family, what happens to health insurance.
Right, right.
They're going to say, well, their solution is going to be we're going to have a government-run health insurance company to help you out, and they'll use that
right
long term to destroy private health care in this country.
I think they also will use it as under the guise of economic recovery. They'll use it for part of that too, I think.
They'll use anything that they think will strike the right chords with
right
the public.
Steve, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is one of the things that created the depression was protectionism, this Mood-Hawley Tariff
right
Act, and the countries reacting to that. According to a Wall Street Journal article, that's happening again right now. Trade is declining among nations. Are you concerned about that?
Yes. Reducing barriers to trade, similar to reducing barriers to doing business in our own country. It's like a bicycle. You don't stand still. You're either moving forward or you stop. And we've got to make sure we don't stop and fall over. And in terms of trade, I am one of the few things that I've found heartening is that some of the people that President-elect Obama has appointed are free traders.
They are free, reduce
trade barriers.
They are free traders. That's one of the reasons I was sorry to see Richardson fall out of the out of the pack there. We could have used him. Stand by, Tintail. We're going to be right back. Steve Forbes is going to talk to us about what he thinks the economy is going to be like the rest of the year and advice for small business owners. Tintail, stay with us. Can you tell me? We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Steve Forbes. Steve, the website is Forbes.com, right?
That's right.
And the magazine?
It's very easy to access, and we have over 20 million unique visitors a month now.
That's outstanding. Good job there on that. And you've been right here talking to us about how you've seen it grow over the years. And it's one of the great success stories of a print organization converting to making this straddling over to the online world. And you guys have been one of the great success stories. And, of course, the magazine, Forbes Magazine, and all the other products that you offer are available on the newsstands and by subscription, and they can subscribe at the website too, can't they?
They can, and the website itself is free. And Jim, just in recent weeks, we've done two major things in our company on that score. We've integrated the marketing and business sides of both organizations. Even though they're different platforms, it's still selling our basic constituency, entrepreneurial capitalism, free markets, and doing the same thing on editorial.
Good. Well, that'll be very interesting to observe as that comes together. Steve, I want to ask you, what do you think about the economy for the rest of the year. What is your advice for small business owners as we try to make plans for the rest of the year?
Well, I think everyone knows, in terms, especially if you're a small business owner, watch that cash flow like a hawk, and don't count on your lenders to behave in the ways they've behaved in the past. So you're going to have to be very, very careful, very cautious, and especially until we get these snags like mark-to-market out of the way so the lending system can start to work again. But the other thing, though, is that in the latter part of the year, I think the economy is going to start to show signs of life again. And so while on the one hand you make sure you survive, you also should have another eye out there. This is a time of huge opportunity, fluidity. When you have a tumult like this, the landscape is changing. And, yes, you have to survive, but you also can do things you might not have been able to do before.
Well, that's exactly right. There are opportunities out there that are going to present themselves in the next 12 to 24 months that you might not see again for a lifetime.
That's right. And, of course, timing is everything. So survive, but also be looking around to see what can you do when things start to recover, which eventually they do. They always do.
Steve, one of the things that you've said over the years is you've encouraged people when they worried about deficit spending and the national debt, you've tried to encourage people to compare, to balance the national debt against the national assets. But with all this spending and all this stimulus that the government is putting in, and all the now it looks like we may have, Obama said, President-elect Obama said, we may have $1 trillion deficits as far as the eye can see. Are you starting to change that attitude a little bit?
Well, I think that we still have, despite the battering we've taken, among the nations of the world, the best balance sheet in the world. Even though we're in a tough situation now, others are in situations that are tougher than ours. But what I worry about is less the spending per se, because we can throttle that back. We can deal with that. What I worry about is what we chatted about earlier, and that is government power grabs, not just with banking and autos, but particularly in health care and some of the other things they're going to try to do in the next 4 years. And then, too, we have the real problems of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, where the unfunded liabilities are just ballooning, and which will overwhelm anything we do now unless we make some structural changes there.
Well, absolutely. And but we got to have leadership in Washington to fix those things, Steve, and I'm not sure we have the leadership to do that.
Well, we're going to find out, and one of the things I hope comes to pass is that Mr. Obama learns on the job. No one goes into that job knowing everything. And but that he grows positively in the job, and that he will, I guess, bottom line is, Jim, I hope Obama is a severe disappointment to his supporters.
to many of his supporters. But I know you like this agitator role, don't you, Steve? Hey, Steve, I know you joined me, though, in truly from our hearts, wishing him all the success in the world.
Absolutely, because if he truly succeeds, that's good for the country.
Yeah. And if he really succeeds, he will kind of irritate some of those guys. That'll, by definition, irritate some of those people, I think, and in some of these areas. Steve, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. It's always a pleasure. Let's have a good 2009 together.
Look, we're going to work towards it. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Don't forget to check out the website, Forbes.com. It's a good one. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.